Okay, now, if you will stand with me and we will read the Word of God together. Found in the Gospel of Luke, and this is the prayer and or praise, really, it's a psalm of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And as his son is born, he then speaks in the power of the Holy Spirit. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Mark Davis sends his greetings to you. He called me last night about 10 o'clock and had to rush his little girl to the hospital. She is not critically ill, but had serious stomach pains going on, and so they took her to the hospital. And he texted me about midnight and said, "I think you're going to need to just take all of the 8 o'clock service." So I said, "Don't worry about it. We will cover it for you." So just remember Mark and his little girl. And I hope and pray that he comes at 9:30. So special prayers for here. In this passage, Luke introduces Jesus in a most unusual way. I want you to think about what has happened in this as we set the context. As Luke opens with the birth of John the Baptist being foretold and Zechariah being told by an angel that his wife Elizabeth, who is beyond childbearing age, will bear a child. And he says, "How can this be?" And with his doubt, he is told that he will be unable to speak for the time until the child is born. Then an angel comes and makes an announcement to Mary. And Mary also struggles a little bit with this, but she simply says, "Be it unto me, your handmaid," and she accepts it by faith. And then the two of them, Mary visits Elizabeth. They are related. And then Mary gives a beautiful psalm. And then we have the birth of John. And then Zechariah gives this magnificent psalm as well. And then we have the birth then of Jesus. But I want you to think about this. Two righteous couples. Two righteous couples. Two angel announcements. Two births. Two psalms of praise. And yet so different. One couple is older. One couple unmarried. One couple from the priestly line. One couple from the royal line. One is chastened for disbelief. One is praised for accepting belief. Both have miracle births, yet one is natural, one is supernatural. One gives birth to the promised prophet. The other gives birth to the promised king. Both are sons of joy, and yet both die for the kingdom of God. One is killed by a king, the other is killed for being a king. Both were waited for in wonder. This incredible parallel that Luke seeks to open up for us in the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus the Savior give us much to wonder about. It is the beauty that the Holy Spirit brings through Scripture. Our passage today, you could say, is a psalm of waiting and wonder, carefully crafted by the Holy Spirit and spoken through the words and the heart of John's father, Zechariah. It is a psalm that emphasizes the fact that what God was doing in both John and Jesus was in fulfillment of the Old Testament covenantal promises. Zechariah ties together the Old Testament promises then with the New Testament fulfillment in a beautiful way of wonder. In verse 68, he begins and he says, he blesses the Lord God of Israel, and he blesses him for three great promises that Israel has waited for centuries, yea, even millennium for. And those promises are first this, verse 68, for he has visited us. He has visited us. Israel has waited ever since Abraham, truly ever since Adam, but has waited for the one who would come, the one who would crush the head of Satan, the one who would bring the blessings of God to his people, the one who would bring that redemption, that great, great Messiah. And isn't it interesting that even prior to the birth of Christ, which of course immediately follows, Zechariah is prophesying to us, and he says it in the past tense, he has visited us. He is here. He has come. The third great promise is that he has accomplished and completed our redemption. That too is an amazing prophecy of Zechariah. How could he fully understand, except in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the one who is yet to be born is the one who has accomplished, who has brought us redemption? Because it is as certain as God's word is certain. The promise is true. Whether it is yet to come or has come, the certainty of it is, as we can say, as Zechariah prophesied here, he an accomplished redemption for his people. And the third promise, that he has raised up a horn, coming mightily, the powerful one. The horn was representative of the beast that would have horns. That's where the power was. The power was in the horns of an animal, mighty and powerful to look at. He promised him this power unto our salvation. For he is from, he says, the house, the promised house of David. Again, pulling together the pieces of the Old Testament. Now we're looking at the Davidic covenant being brought in to the picture, that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And he has visited us. He has brought us, raised up, notice this, the power, the horn of salvation for us in the house of David. I had a privilege that, you know, only a grandfather can have, and that I had my little grandson in my arms the other day, and we were riding in the country, and I happened to have a pair of binoculars in the car, and he was fidgeting with them and holding them and stuff. And just as we drove around a corner, here was a magnificent buck, a beautiful deer, that had a huge, huge rack, a very, very massive rack on top. And we stopped, and as deer will do, he stopped and turned and looked right at us. He was only about 30 feet away. And my little grandson got to pull up the binoculars and actually look at him that close in the binoculars. And when we asked him later, what was your favorite time at Thanksgiving? He said, oh, it was riding with Granddad, seeing the deer, the power, the magnificence. And he uses this metaphor to say that this powerful salvation has come. It is here. It has finally arrived. He follows this with these three great promises with three wonderful benefits. Why does he come? He comes, he says to us in verse, becoming down to 72, he says, to show mercy toward our fathers. To show mercy toward our fathers, and we can add to ourselves, to show God's mercy. The reason the Messiah was promised, the reason he has come to bring us redemption, is so that we might understand how beautifully, wonderfully merciful God is. Because mercy is what we receive when we don't deserve anything. And God is the one who brings this magnificent mercy to us. He further goes on to say, and not only his mercy, he says that to remember his holy covenant, to show God's faithfulness in his covenant. Again, reminding us what God promises to us, he will fulfill. There is not a promise of the Scripture that will not be fulfilled. And this promise has been made for thousands of years, but God has not forgotten his promise. He has remembered his covenant. And thirdly, to grant us deliverance from our enemies. He says in verse 74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, that all the victory is ours, that we are delivered from the enemy of sin, that we are delivered from the enemy of the flesh, we're delivered from the enemy of the world, we're delivered from the enemy of Satan himself. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The mastery of sin has been broken. We are free. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been given the freedom from our enemies. And that is the beauty for us to see, all that we have. Also, he says, that we might freely serve God. These things are given to us, he says, that we might serve him without fear. We do not have to fear God in the way of condemnation, in the penalty of sin, for that has been met in the Redeemer. That has been met in the one who brings us our salvation, the one who has visited us. And wonder of all, that we might serve him, he says, in holiness and righteousness. Paul echoes these wonderful words when he writes the Ephesians, and he says that we have been granted everything in the heavenly places in order that we might be holy and blameless. I don't know about you. I don't often feel very holy. I don't feel or see myself as blameless. But somehow or another, when God the Father looks at me through the righteousness of Christ, he sees me as holy. He sees me as righteous. That is the wonder of it all, that we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And then Zechariah turns his wonder to his own son. Can you imagine at his age, way beyond the age of childbirth for his wife? And Zechariah now lifts up his son, a son he has wanted all of his life. And he is holding this precious little boy in his arms. And think of that when he says these words, "And you, my child, and you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High." What greater honor, what wonder of it all, this little boy that I hold is the prophet of the Most High God. And then he prophesies about his ministry. And he says, "For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways." And then he tells us what he will prepare him for. He says that his son is the long-awaited forerunner of the Messiah. And he quotes that passage out of Isaiah 40. "You will be the one to go before the Lord and to prepare his ways." The ways, he says, first of all, by giving the people knowledge of salvation. The prophet brings the knowledge of salvation. But please notice, the knowledge now is salvation is different. It's not the salvation that they had always thought they would have at this moment, the freedom of the tyranny of the world. No, it is the freedom of the tyranny of the heart. The heart that is full of sin. Because he says what this one will bring is the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. This is the right on message. This is what it means to make straight a pathway for the Lord, that we recognize that we are sinners and Christ has come and he walks in righteousness. And we come as sinners. And John the Baptist comes to announce that the way to salvation is by understanding that you are a sinner, but that you have forgiveness in him. The forgiveness of their sins. And then an even more beautiful statement, I think, of waiting and wonder. In verse 78, he says, "All this because of the tender mercy of our God." The tender mercy of our God. The second time that he has mentioned mercy to us. And this tender mercy is coupled together with probably the most beautiful poetic phrase that the Holy Spirit enables Zechariah the priest, who would have known the prophets and the law so well. And he uses this following phrase, and he says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us." And he uses S-U-N, "the sunrise from on high shall visit us." No doubt he is making reference here to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Which closed the Old Testament with these words, "But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healings in its wings, and you will go forth like calves from the stalls, jumping and leaping with joy." And then he says in verse 79, "That sun of righteousness comes to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Those who have no hope will see a great light. And the light will come and dawn on them as the sun rises and reveals everything that is true and everything that is real. And he says when he does so, he closes with, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. That the great Redeemer comes, the great Savior comes to save us from our sins, but then to enable us to walk in the way of peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, peace ultimately with this world. Good tidings of great joy I bring to you. Peace unto the world and to those who are called to follow me. The whole focus of Zechariah's psalm is really on the Abrahamic covenant. It is the wonder of waiting that God never forgets his promise. He never forgets his covenant. But then there's one more wonder woven into this story that I want you to see. If you dig just a little deeper, you find this. Zechariah's name means God remembers. Elizabeth's name means God's covenant. John's name means God is gracious. The waiting and wonder meant that God was faithful to remember his covenant and was gracious in providing John to prepare the people for his son. All in the names of those who waited. And there it was. This is the time of year that we wonder. And we need to realize how much wonder there was in waiting for Jesus. How full of wonder are we at this moment? The scriptures fulfilled over 300 prophecies in awe of the coming Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who bought our freedom, the one who forgives our sins. All came and all prepared in that wonder. Read again the beautiful stories that Israel waited for. And the Messiah came and fulfilled for our salvation, that we might rejoice from the one who has visited us and accomplished our redemption. The wonder of it all. Amen. Our great and mighty God, we thank you that you have blessed us with an everlasting truth, an everlasting Savior. We thank you that those who waited faithfully saw the coming one and knew that there was something greater for them. We praise you. We ask that you would increase our joy and increase our wonder at this time of Advent. In Christ's great name we pray. Amen.